Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Wednesday night. Wednesday, July 9th, 2025. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, as always, to be found on thechairshot.com. You can also listen to us on all your favorite podcasting platforms. That is thechairshot.com, where we have everything from sports to entertainment to sports entertainment. We've got you covered across the board with podcasts, articles, and more. Go check that out. I just fell apart right in my own head, right in the whole intro because I changed something. Anyway, I'm the man with the award-winning holy beard, DJ. Going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I always do that are part of thechairshot.com that I screwed up a minute ago. Starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, he hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. He is Bucky's tag team partner, man with the bionic back and destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how's your week thus far?
My week is wonderful. It's great to be back with you lovely gentlemen, and a very happy birthday to Shelton Benjamin. Of the Hurt Syndicate. Happy birthday, Shelton.
Happy birthday, Shelton Benjamin. I'm sure Mia Yim is all over that right now.
Oh, sure. Ripe old 50 years old. I bet she's all over his ass.
And from the Rob the Genius podcast, the host of that show, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the king of the power nap, and Ray Cash's daddy, Mr. Rob, sir, how are you tonight?
Good, good to be back. And we got a serious thunderstorm situation going on around here, but
wow,
we're inside, so.
Yeah, good. Stay inside, stay safe. Hopefully you don't lose power. But I think you guys are underground utilities anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, but yeah, so that's not a problem. It's just, driving in the heavy rain was not fun.
Yeah, if you're up near Rob's area, man.
Did the stuff we get swing south or something? Because last night we had massive thunderstorms. Bucky spent the night in here, what we call Paradiso, and that's his spot under the bed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because there was like some flash flood warnings in a couple places around here. So it was pretty heavy.
Yeah, my wife just said, apparently, you guys are getting worse than us. So there you go.
Cobra Commander's got control of the weather dominator again, does he?
That's what it looks like, yeah.
That is my current favorite conspiracy theory right now, is that the weather dominator is at work and it's controlling the weather and flooding the United States. It's great. Anyway,
we are not serious people. We are not meant to last.
No, we're just cracking jokes here. After all, this is a wrestling podcast, and we need to get down to it. There is a lot of wrestling going on this coming weekend. Just WWE alone, between Friday and Sunday, we have SmackDown, obviously. Then on Saturday the 12th, we have the NXT Great American Bash. Saturday evening, we have Saturday night's main event. And then Sunday, July 13th, we have WWE Evolution 2. And then AEW has their big one, All In, coming from Texas, right?
Yes.
Yep, All In coming at us live from Texas. We are going to talk about as much of this as we can without getting too deep into the woods. I know there's a lot going on, a lot to talk about. I think the first thing that we're going to kick around just a little bit is the Great American Bash. And we talked about this a little bit in the pre-show. I think the show's going to be fun. I've been a little bit behind on NXT, so I'm not super up on a lot of the matches that are going on. But this is going to be one of those shows that I watch for the bell-to-bell content. And I think they're going to deliver. Emotionally, I'm not connected to any part of it, like I said, because I'm so far behind. But the matches themselves, I think, are going to be good. Obafemi versus, and I always get this kid's name wrong because I'm still getting introduced to him.
Inamura.
That dude, I've seen him a couple times, and I like what I've seen. So I look for this to be a good meaty men bump and meat match.
Yeah, they're going to wrestle, man.
And this is great for Obo because they've really done something really smart with him in NXT, aside from, you know, not launching him up to the main roster, one, before he's ready, and two, before they have anything meaningful for him to do. They've had him work with a cross-section of wrestlers, you know, from high flyers to guys bigger than him to guys equal in his size to now this Japanese strong style. I like it. I think we're building a very well-rounded professional wrestler here. And I'm so thankful because we look back historically at NXT, and a lot of times there were people that were sent up who just either they had nothing for them to do or they just quite frankly weren't ready. And that was really evident during the Vince McMahon running the main roster and Triple H running NXT. Because he would send people up and Vince would look at them and go, okay, you were a big deal down there, but who are you up here? And they just weren't ready for Vince McMahon's main roster WWE. I think that transition has been a little smoother. Huge.
I want to jump in there real quick.
Yeah, go for
it. I feel like to back your point up, Triple H, once he got a champion, was like, okay, what are the best matches for this champion? And that's not a wrong way to build a wrestling promotion. But I think you're missing the forest for the trees when you're the developmental wrestling promotion.
Yes.
And I think, to your point, instead of just going, okay, what would be the best matches for Obafemi, because it would not be this list of rivals that he's had, what's the best thing for his character and him, the professional wrestler, the person who's learning to wrestle, what are the best things for him to go through over the next 3 months to 6 months?
Yeah. And it really, again, it fits the character, though, because he's the ruler. I'm the king of this jungle, and everybody's challenging me, and that's what they're doing. And it's been challengers of all shapes and sizes, and I love it. Like, it really has been amazing.
For him, he with his list of opponents, it backs it up when he says, I will take on all comers.
Yeah.
And yes, look at the list of people he's taken on and is taking on. Yes, he will.
Yeah.
You step up, he will be happy to knock you down.
Yeah. And I think that's been incredible for his growth and development. And it's been fun to watch as a fan. Just, you know, not only to watch his evolution as a wrestler and as a character, but we've gotten some fun stuff out of that. So it's been really, really good. Is there anything else major going on this show that either one of you two are super excited about? Rob, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Rob, you haven't talked much. Go.
Yeah. Sorry, I guess I'm interested in the of who's going to win between Ethan Page and Ricky Saints. I think that's the one match on this card where it's not like, you know, foregone conclusion, you know, or what have you. So, I'm curious just to see who wins that. It should be great. There's false count anywhere. So they're going to, you know, that gives them space to do a whole lot of things. But I'm interested as to how it goes because, I mean, I think, look, these two guys, you could extend this beyond the show. I think, you know, I mean, because they're both great at this. You know, so you could have Ethan Page hang on one more time. Or you could have Ricky win here. I just think the only thing is if, you know, whenever Ricky beats him, then we're kind of in, okay, what do you do now? Part, you know, land.
Right.
And honestly, look, either one of them could go up to they're both ready to go up to the main roster, but there's nothing for them to do right now.
And again, it all boils down to that question that we ask almost weekly, and do what?
Yeah. So, and so I could just, I could see them maybe Ethan Page hanging on one more time and then them extending a little bit further.
Okay.
I guess that's the only way.
I just want to see Jordan and Blake Monroe, because their bonding segments this week were absolutely fantastic. And if anyone hadn't seen them, I won't go into detail because I know DJ hasn't. Rob said they're all up on the YouTube gimmick, so check them out. They just do a Beauty and the Gym Beast, type gimmick with Jordan Grace and Blake Monroe. So, and it's very good. They both lean into it perfectly.
Yeah, Jordan's transition into NXT, and we never doubted this for a minute, excuse me, has been incredible, and I don't think Jordan's very long for NXT. I mean, again, we asked the question, what do you do with her on the main roster? Because right now, it's stacked, but at some point, she's going to make a smooth transition to be a major player in WWE for the foreseeable future. Jordan's just so good at all of this, and it's been just been a joy to watch her on what I have seen on NXT.
Yeah, she's just phenomenal. I've watched enough of her stuff in TNA when she was there, and then I've been lucky enough to see her in action a couple of times in real life. So we even waved to each other once when she was leaving a show. Actually, my wife got a high five.
Nice.
There you go. Nice. Friend of the podcast, Jordan Grace.
That's right, friend of the podcast. So,
but yeah, I root for her. She's just great, man. I think she gets all the sports entertainment things. And DJ, to your point, I think it's honestly just keep her in NXT. And if because like you said, there's nothing to do right now. Right. And once you can either smoothly create something to do, or just if a spot opens up, I mean, like you guys said, she's ready to go.
Yeah, just
get her up there. She's worked weekly television. She clearly understands the WWE ecosystem already. So, yeah, she's ready, but there's no harm in keeping her in NXT and letting her be a featured act down there. Well, and letting the other girls learn from her.
And that what do you do with her has gotten even worse now that SmackDown is back down to 2 hours. Now that really tightened up the field and cut out a lot of time for people to potentially get TV time. And I don't necessarily disagree with it because
Raw's not even 3 hours most weeks anymore now.
No, I think the last Raw I watched was like 2 hours and 35 minutes. But that's a sweet spot.
2:30 and 2:45.
Yeah, but I think that's a good sweet spot. I think we've all felt that 3 hours was a bit long in the tooth. But again, when you sacrifice that 20 to 30 minutes, you're sacrificing 1 to 2 segments. You know, depending on the segment you're doing, you're sacrificing at least 2 matches. You know, and TV matches run anywhere 5 to 10 minutes on the average.
You're cutting 2 people right there. Because at bare minimum, it's 1 promo segment and 1 promo segment.
Right.
So you're cutting 2 people right there in 15 minutes. Boom, gone.
Yeah. So, yeah, if they can keep them doing regular stuff down at NXT and getting their laps in and all that stuff, keep them down there as long as you don't have anything for them to do up there. I think that's the right move, and it's smart. So,
That was my big highlight, though. It's going to be Jordan and Blake.
Okay, all right. I want to move quickly here into Saturday night's main event, because that's the other big one coming up on Saturday. The big match, it's the final match, supposedly, of Goldberg versus Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship. I'm excited. Okay, I want to talk for a minute about Goldberg, because when Goldberg was the big thing, I was not on board for Goldberg. It was very blatantly obvious that he was Stone Cold Steve Austin counter programming. It was painfully obvious that he was rushed to production, and he's even admitted this recently. I can't remember who he was on with, whether it was Sam or Chris Van Vliet, but they had an interview, and he was like, basically, he's like, was I rushed to production? Yeah, probably. You know, he's like, I did the best I could with what I was given, and I agree with that. But back in the day, I was not here for Goldberg. I warmed up a bit when he came to WWE because one thing that Vince was always good at was protecting people's limitations. He was pretty good at putting people and structuring matches because he did it with the Ultimate Warrior. You know, he made the Ultimate Warrior, for the most part, look like a bazillion bucks. And to a different degree, because I think Goldberg had more upside than the Warrior did, and more overall potential because Goldberg gave a shit about business, to a degree. I warmed up when he got to WWE because they did things the right way with him, brought him in right, had him in situations that, you know, made him look a little bit better. So by the time we got down to the last 10 years and Goldberg coming on TV, I was like, okay, I can do this. I'm cool with it. How are we feeling about the last match of Goldberg? For me, it sounds weird saying that, you know, but then part of that is just me realizing I'm becoming an old man. And I'm going into that kicking and screaming. Rob, again, I'll start with you. How are you feeling about Goldberg's final match? Do you expect him to go out here and have much of a showing, or is this going to be like play the hits and then Gunther squashes him?
Okay. Yeah, I hope they just give us a good 5 minutes, and I don't want to see him get squashed. I mean, I think he's definitely not winning. And I hope he doesn't embarrass himself. I'm not here for that, you know. And look, I was watching WCW when he was during his run there. And so, look, I was a big Goldberg mark.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, no. And look, this lasts, what, 10 years or so? Look, he'll tell you it's been hit or miss. Because, I mean, there have been, you know, the stuff we did with Brock was outstanding. The stuff we did with Bobby Lashley was very good. And then, of course, there was that Undertaker match, which was not good at all.
Oh, God.
You know, and, you know, that match he had at Roman wasn't great either. But
the match with The Fiend was atrocious.
Well, thankfully it was short.
But, yeah.
And look, the thing is, but he is one, look, you know, he is one of those people who has earned the right to, you know, to have this kind of run. He's earned the right, if he has a stinker, he has earned the right to go out there and try and do better next time. You know, look, some people have a stinker and they're out of here, right? But he's one of those people who has earned the right, if he puts up a stinker and he wants to try again, you give him another, you let him try again, right? So I do think this is it because he's like 58 now or something like that. And it's in his hometown. So, look, I am going to watch it. And, you know, again, I want him to put on a good showing. I get no joy out of seeing people, you know, crap all over themselves.
Yeah. Right?
I don't, you know, even if I do criticize them for it, right? But still, you know, to me, it's not, you know, it's not funny or whatever, right? So I hope he has a good showing, and if this is indeed the last time, then I hope he has a good showing because if he does put up a stinker, then he's gonna want to try again, right? So. I hope that this is a showing that he is proud enough of that he can say, okay, you know what? We did it. And this was a good way to finish. This was a good way to go. And, you know, and we can call it a career.
Yeah. Jason, you were Goldberg's key demographic when he was huge. How are you feeling about this?
Boy, was I. I was 12 when that guy came around, guys. That guy, it was him and the Stinger. Like, that was it for me. I mean, and all the Sting's friends, you know, Lex and all them, blah, blah, blah. But, like, for me, as a 12-year-old, then later 13, 14, 15-year-old kid, you know, yeah, Goldberg was always awesome. I agree with Rob, this last little bit of this run has been less than awesome. But I also believe, because it's Gunther, and because Goldberg has shown that given the right opponent and putting his mind to it, he can still go. I give you Brock and him. a couple of years ago. So, yeah, Gunther can power them through anything they need to get through, honestly. Like, so I think it's going to be fine. If I don't think anyone's going to embarrass themselves. And, yeah, I think at the end, Gunther's going to break out the Powerbomb Symphony. And that's, it's going to be, you know, it'll be a brutal end. I don't think he's going to take liberties with him for 15 minutes or anything.
Oh, no.
But the final moments of that match are going to be, whoa. Because, yeah, I think we're in for at least one hell of a powerbomb, if not him breaking out the old Powerbomb Symphony.
Yeah. Gunther is the ring general, and he's called that for a reason. I think he has all the intention of getting the best possible match out of Goldberg that anybody can. And if that means, you know, working in a way that Goldberg can keep up with, like I said, we're talking about a 58-year-old man. And a guy whose, you know, best years, unfortunately, are behind him. But I think, I look at Gunther and I look at him being similar in working style to Brock. And I know that sounds odd, but I mean a methodical, slowed down pace of ground and pound. And I think if he can get Goldberg in a ground and pound type of match with a couple of well-placed high spots, we may be looking at a good closing run here for Goldberg. I'm excited for it. I really am. And for the people that are complaining about it, guys, this is literally, between the segments and the match, going to take up less than 30 minutes of total TV time. It's okay. It's okay for Gunther to go on these little side roads once in a while. I know you guys want to see him get back to the serious wrestling with serious opponents, but Gunther is a company guy. He just re-signed a contract, got what he wanted out of WWE, and I think he's enough of a businessman to give back. And I think he's going to do that Saturday night. I look for this to be fun. I'm going to be sports entertained.
Me too, man. To those of you who are hating on it, like, yeah, I get it. Because, I mean, I just said he's had a couple stinkers, unfortunately, in the last couple of years.
And that's unfortunate.
But at the end of the day, he's a fucking superhero, guys. I don't care.
Yeah.
Every time I see that guy, every time he really breaks out in a promo voice and gets yelling, I'm just like, yeah, man, let's
do
it.
So suddenly you're 12 again, right? Like, what was the match, and I know we're kind of side-roading here a little bit, where he squashed Lesnar in like 2 minutes?
Oh, that was Survivor Series.
That's what I was talking about.
Loved
that. That was fucking incredible.
Because, again, and like I was talking with my friend, and neither one of us were big Goldberg fans back in the day, because, again, reasons. We were WWE marks. We were E-drones before E-drone was even a thing. And he told me this. Yeah, it was an F-drone at the time. He said, these were his words. He said, you know what? For 2.5 minutes, I believed again. And it was awesome.
Yep.
And that's all I ever ask of a wrestling show. Make me believe. Make me forget that I am a 50-something-year-old man who not only has been watching this for 40 years, but did it for almost 3. Make me forget that. And they did.
Yeah.
And that's why I am a Goldberg
Sting apologist. Sting got to go do it. Sting got to do it for like a year, if not more. So, and he got he made us all forget. And Goldberg deserves that too.
I agree.
Look, the Survivor Series match. Look, at the time, look, I thought he was coming out there. Like, I didn't know, you know, I was like, dude, why are you coming back? Like, Brock is on this roll. He's killing everybody. I thought they just sent him out there because they needed somebody to feed to Brock for, you know, because Brock was out of, you know, I thought he was out of victims, you know, and they somebody to feed to him. Right. And that's what I thought. All right.
I think that's what we all thought, dude.
Absolutely. I went into that match thinking
Goldberg to probably retire after this match. That's what we all thought. And then he freaking won.
So, and not only did he win, I mean, he won. Like, it was such a shocking, just the way that it went was just so shocking. Right? For a few seconds there, you know, like I said, you know, we were all back. Yeah, I mean, I was back in the basement watching Nitro. And man, and look at, and you know, and you know, hats off to Brock for, you know, seeing the vision and doing it that way. And it, it led up to an all-time great WrestleMania match that, I mean,
yeah,
you
the
want
legends
to see,
say that it was Brock or Paul's idea, right?
Yeah, it was. It was one. Yeah, it was. It was Brock's idea. I think Paul. I think Paul even said it was Brock's idea, because you know he saw the vision in, you know, taking that kind of loss, and then you know, and then you know, getting his win later, right? And
the money
that
was in the
rematch. Look, if you want to see a sub 5 minute match that you could give 5 stars to, go watch that from WrestleMania 33. Brock's
in a lot of those.
Yep.
Yeah. And, but it was like 4.5 minutes and they just went full tilt for 4.5 minutes. And then, you know, I also put over the, you know, the thing he did with Lashley in 2021, right? And that was almost like the, you know, flip, you know, the inverse of that, because he went out there and he lost like on a technical stoppage, right? And we'd never seen Goldberg, you know, vulnerable like that to anybody, right? And then he turned it around, and then so then you know, and then he got the win back on Lashley later, and that was an excellent match that they had. So
yep,
you know, listen, I mean, well, Goldberg, I mean, he got Goldberg kind of. That early 2000s where like the work rate nerds, you know, took over the wrestling discourse. He fell victim to that.
He did.
Yeah. And that, I mean, his, you know, reputation or what have you was severely just tarnished because of that. But.
Well, also, let's be real, that Brock match was not good. That first one was not good.
Oh, well, it's funny
because they're both leaving, so I mean, there's tons of reasons and all that bullshit.
They're both leaving, so the crowd wasn't. The crowd just crept on it from jump.
Right.
Maybe, and, you know.
It was just bad all the way around.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's anyone's fault, really. It's everybody's fault.
You know what? They made up for it, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the point.
And that's all. What matters is that they. Yes. Ultimately, what matters is that. They made up for it, right? And so if this is the end, you know, I want it to go well. I want him to have a good showing. And as always, look, thanks, you know, thanks for everything. Thanks for the memories. Thanks for the entertainment. Thanks for the sacrifices, physical sacrifices to prepare. And to go on the road and to take bumps and all that stuff. And, you know, and to come back after, you know, look, he gave us another, you know, that the WCW run was great. And, you know, he came back and gave us 9 more years. And again, it was up and down, but the good parts were great. And you know what? He's somebody that those stinker matches he had, you know, the matches he had, he came back that weren't good. I'm more than fine, you know, having to have sat through those in order to get to the Brock matches and the stuff he did with Bobby, right?
Yeah.
I think that stuff was so good that it was worth sitting through a couple of stinkers, you know?
Yeah. As the kids say, I shall be seated for Goldberg's final match. I'll sit down and watch it.
Yes, sir.
Saturday night's main event. What else? We had LA Knight versus Seth Rollins, right?
Yeah.
That one could be fun.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I imagine.
It'll be fun, and the Goon Squad will get involved, and, you know, it'll probably end up being a melee, and Roman will probably come back because, you know, Paul said his name on whenever Friday, so there you go. Yeah. He's coming back soon.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Paul Heyman said Roman Reigns doesn't have the balls to step to us. So, okay.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so you know what that means.
Roman's coming back in a month or less.
All right. So, let's squeeze in some AEW All In while we've got a few minutes here before we go to commercial break. Their big show, All In from Texas. Big. This is a big deal for them, and this is, as Rob, you were talking about this in the pre-show, and I said, looking at this card, there's really only two matches on here that I'm even overly pressed to see, but the card itself, in your words, was one that they need to book. Go ahead and explain your reasoning there.
Okay, because, well, what had happened, like, over the, towards the end of last year and then even the beginning of this year, like, their hardcore fans were even starting to just not be happy with stuff. Like, their most loyal fans were starting to not be happy with a lot of stuff. Particularly because that whole Death Riders thing has been kind of a drag. So they needed to just, like, look, AEW, the appeal, part of the appeal of it was that you would get, you know, the work rate, do everything, 30-minute matches that this, you know, some of us kind of chafe at sometimes. But their most loyal fans, you know, that's one of the things they come to the show for, right? And putting those kind of matches in the forefront, is that has always been their staple and all of that. And so they are, you know, look, they took a big hit, you know, audience wise last year. And they are, you know, they've kind of stabilized it. They found, like, you know, they've hit the bottom and they've kind of stabilized things now. And they're rebuilding the foundation, so to speak. And so to do that, you need to, you know, hit home runs with your most loyal people. Right. And so they did that at Double or Nothing. And so this is a continuation of that. And so even, yeah, I mean, it's the right move for them to do. And look, I mean, because the thing is, if you're not into, you know, like a lot of times we're not into some of their style of matches or whatnot, but if you, you know, if they put the right people in the match and those people execute, then even people like us will say, you know what, that was really damn good, right?
Rob and I have been to shows because of people like, we're like, okay, this card, these combinations of people, all right, let's go. And the match is delivered.
Yeah.
They do lean into that kind of, they get far up their own buttholes once in a while. But, you know, that going in at this point. So, hey, you know, I can't complain about it when I go to the show.
AEW is such, sorry, I'm going to take a little side road here for a minute because I know I'm probably their hardest critic on this show. I've tried, honest to God, I've tried. They have not reeled me in. And I hate being that way about AEW because it sounds like I'm knocking the talent. And while there is some talent on that show that I just have nothing for, like there's creative, and it's not even their bell-to-bell work. It's just creatively what they're doing with them. It just is not, it's not pulling me in. The talent largely is excellent at performing wrestling moves and going out there and putting on a good wrestling show. And if you get off on that, it's awesome. I think they fall short of filling in the blanks in some areas, and the one fill in the blank that they miss for me is making me give a shit. You know, and there's very few wrestlers on that show that I truly give a shit about. And it's honestly, unfortunately, not enough for me to watch. You know, like looking at the entirety of this card, and the only two matches that I would even remotely pay money to see, obviously, is going to be Okada versus Omega, which I have thoughts about anyway. And then, even though this one's a foregone conclusion, Tony Storm and Mercedes Moné. Like, those are the only two matches out of eight that me, being an AEW most casual of the casual fans, is even remotely interested in. This is absolutely, Rob's right, booked for the weirdos, or the sickos, or whatever we're calling them these days.
Look, having Ospreay and Swerve team up against the Young Bucks.
Don't give up.
That is a shoot your television match for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's not a knock on Swerve or Ospreay.
I do like Ospreay and Swerve as wrestlers, but putting them in the ring, the Young Bucks, is going to basically every bad habit that they have is going to be indulged up 10 times.
Yep. Okay.
And yeah, that to me, that is a shoot your television match. Okay. Okay. But that is exactly the kind of thing that their most loyal fans, like, they're going to give that 10 stars. Okay.
Oh, Meltzer's already given it 7.
Yeah. And so it's not for me, but again, they're rebuilding their foundation with their most loyal people. So yes, you absolutely put that match on your biggest show of the year.
Yeah.
And people like, you know what, the people like me who hate the Young Bucks, you know what I'll do? That's if I happen to be watching the show, or I am going to watch it. I may not watch it live, but while I am watching the show, if I'm not watching it live, I will fast forward past that match probably. And if I am watching it live, that's when I will go, put a load of laundry in or something. I don't know, but that's fine. Okay. But this, look, and they have crafted what I think is a good story getting Hangman to this world title match. Now, I think he absolutely needs to win this match.
He's not going
this is not the time to get cute. You have a guy, you have your heel champion who's been kind of dragging things down and has been escaping and escaping. And you have a guy with a cowboy gimmick in Texas having a Texas death match for the world championship.
No, Rob. You have a guy with a Hangman gimmick.
Sorry.
Literally rides into town and strings up the bad guys. Like, you're at the one, Tony, you've got to the story to the 1 yard line, brother. I am begging you to punch it in.
It's not going to happen.
It's not. I'm with
it's
you.
It's not going to happen. Yeah.
They're going to okie doke it once, and they're going to and this is one of those times that I know you want to earn it, but you earn it in the match. You don't earn it with an aw shucks loss and then get the victory down the road like Cody or whoever or all these other stories that does work for. This story is more about the villain than it is
the hero.
Hangman's defeating him.
Right.
Hangman's already Hangman's got to this point as the almost hero, as kind of the icon of AEW and all this stuff. You really don't need to overthink this. So you make the suffering, unfortunately for Hangman, in the match, and when the person giving that suffering out is John Moxley, well, I look for both these guys to bleed out of
profusely.
Everything, and a bloody Hangman to have that title at the end of the night. But no, that's not going to happen. They're going to okie doke it one more time, and it's going to be awful.
And well, Hangman has kind of turned into what Sting was for WCW fans.
Yeah,
I think he's the guy who's always going to be there.
And the money's in the chase.
Yeah,
and I hate to say that with Hangman, but the money is in the chase.
If one person stays there for the duration of their career, I think it is going to be him.
Oh, it will be.
But to that point, Rob, I think the chase more so, because of the suitcase gimmick and all this stuff, I think the chase is, again, it's more AEW that has been chasing, and I think they can just do it.
This is the time to do
it. Again, they're not going to. They're going to pick the dumb decision and think they're being so smart about it. But you really can just, finish the story.
And, well, because they do have matches on the other side that they can do. Like, Hangman and Swerve have this never-ending rivalry. You can do a title match with them. You can do a title match with Hangman and Ospreay. And you can have Danielson come back for one more if he wants to. So they have things they can do on the other side of this. But this is not a dead end if Hangman wins. And he does have to win sometime. Right? I mean, because Sting didn't always lose the big matches. Sting did eventually, every now and then, he would punch it in and win some of those. This is one of those times where I think you need to. And look, I just think, and again, I think Hangman is going to be the lifer out of all the people there, because I think he has a unique, just like Sting, he has a unique relationship with the hardcore AEW fans. Like, they get him, they get him more than we do. Okay, He's a special guy to them.
Wasn't he the first signing that wasn't the?
I think so. But just like
Sting, not Kenny, sorry.
Sting was special to WCW fans. Lex Luger was special to WCW fans, right? And I think Hangman is kind of that way. He to AEW hardcore AEW fans, he is special to them, no matter what. Like, we might just think he's good or whatever, but he is special to them.
He's an interesting pick.
If you had to pick a main character of AEW, I mean, I'm not going to argue with anybody who says him.
And honestly, because I didn't get it until I started watching it more regularly. And again, I didn't get... just the kind of the special way that hardcore AEW fans see him until I started watching it more regularly and, you know, just reading some stuff.
Yeah,
and so I think he's the lifer. He's
because you are correct too, Rob. It's not just a pop; it's unique. Get up for that guy.
You're our guy. It's not just you're a babyface. Yes. You're not just a good wrestler. You're not just some guy that we like. You're our guy. Yeah. That's what he is to them.
He's interesting to me because he looks like an old school wrestler and works like a new school wrestler. So he's like unique brand of the stuff I used to, like a blend of the stuff I used to like. Like just his look, that dude could have been in mid to late 80s WCW or NWA. Just to look at him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he'd have been a great territory babyface.
I would have been a wonderful territory babyface, but he works like he's got the work rate of a modern wrestler, and it's a good blend.
And DJ, to your point, he can promo obviously like a modern wrestler, but then when he slips the character on, and you know he's got the mustache going and he's like screaming into the microphone, it's like this is 1985, baby.
Yeah,
I mean that with all the love and the
appreciation. Oh no, that's why I was very much complimenting him.
Yes.
So, Jason, is there anything else on this card?
Stuff before, we like, you know, wrestling.
Right. Before we go to commercial, is there anything else on this card?
There's one more match. I do have.
Oh, go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
They're doing the casino gauntlet matches. They're doing one for the men and one for the women, and the women's one, I guess because there's usually somebody who, some surprise injury, somebody who, you know, shows up who was not on the docket.
Yeah.
Beth Phoenix has been showing some workout videos on her Instagram and whatnot. It would be cool to see her drop in. But also, I'm also interested because I think this might be the big setup for Willow to go on a big run here if she wins this thing.
See, Willow was my pick to win that, so I agree with you there.
Yeah.
I'm on an agenda with Willow right now.
Yeah, so I think this could be a great launching pad for her to go on a big run here, you know, if she wins this thing. I think I'd love to see her win it, and if not her, then personally, if not her, I'd love to see Athena win this and, you know, get her ticket up out of, you know, up to the away from the paywall of honor.
Oh, God.
Well, because now this is interesting because actually this Friday is Supercard of Honor. They're doing it later in the year.
Yeah.
And she's defending the Ring of Honor women's title against Thunder Rosa. And, you know, there have been reports that that Athena's contract is up soon also. So this could be
breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
If she loses the title to Thunder Rosa, this could either be a call up to AEW, or it could be,
I'm coming home.
It could be,
Tell the world I'm coming home.
Weekend for her.
Come home, baby.
Yeah.
We miss you. Please come home.
So this could be, and look, it all hinges on whether or not she loses to Thunder Rosa Friday. If she beats Thunder Rosa, that means she's sticking around.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if she loses to Thunder Rosa Friday, then this could be going up to AEW proper, or it could be, time to come home, one or the other.
Coming home.
So it's interesting to see what happens with her this weekend.
All right, Jason, just a couple minutes here. What any other matches you're looking forward to?
I love Ember Moon. I just want to say that right off.
Yeah, dude, I do.
I am looking forward to the title match because, again, if I'm betting, I think there's going to be some fuckery. But there's a small part of me that likes to believe in happy endings and, this thing is a comic book and a superhero show that we watch. So maybe, just maybe. I think Adam Cole and Kyle Fletcher is going to be the right level of, flippy dippy nonsense for me. Cause both those guys can, as we know, actually go. They don't just have to do the flippy nonsense, and they can wrestle, as we like to say. So yeah, that I'm actually looking forward to. So if I had to say anything else, it would be Fletcher and Cole.
Okay. All right. Well, on that note, why don't we take a quick commercial break? And when we come back, we are talking WWE Evolution 2. We got quite a bit to go over here. This one, we are going to go over the whole card. Want to talk a little bit about the build. Want to talk about the importance of this show. Before we do that, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick out a t-shirt. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. Again, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Going to commercial, and when we come back, we're talking Evolution 2.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back. I want to thank you, as always, for listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We are talking Evolution 2. Finally, after almost 7 long years, because the first Evolution was back in 2018, WWE is bringing back the all-women's exclusive premium live event, Evolution, this weekend. And personally, I'm excited. We have been at the front lines on this podcast for Evolution 2 for as long as we've been a podcast. Collectively, we came together as a unit in January, the three of us, in January of 2022. Rob and I were together a little bit before that, and almost since day one, that was 5 years after the fact, we have been calling for another women's premium live event, and we are finally getting it. And honestly, guys, I'm excited. I don't even have the card in front of me. Jason has the card as customary. He's going to go over that in a few minutes. But let's just start general feelings. Jason, I'll start with you. You excited for this one?
First of all, I just want to congratulate you, congratulate Rob, congratulate this podcast. Gentlemen, we did it.
We did.
We've been beating that drum for a long time. We've specifically been saying Evolution 2. We haven't even been messing with the gimmick or anything. Just do that again. That's all you got to do. And finally, we're getting it. So I'm just excited for that, first off, for us, and for the fact that we've been beating this drum for a while. You have the best women's roster, top to bottom, probably in the industry. So show it off, and let them rip. So, yeah, let's go.
Before I kick it over to Rob, I want to talk for a second about the first Women's Evolution pay-per-view, because a lot of people, much like they're talking about this one, kind of felt like it was an afterthought, that WWE didn't put a whole lot into it, this and that. And the turnout was subject to scrutiny, as is the sales of this current pay-per-view. I would strongly encourage you, if you are a fan of women's wrestling and you want to watch a good wrestling show, not just a good women's wrestling show, a good wrestling show with some damn fine matches, go on the Peacock, find the very first Women's Evolution pay-per-view, premium live event, whatever you want to call it, and watch that, because there were some excellent, excellent matches on that show. We had a few legends come back. We had some future stars on there. Like, it was a great mix of things, and just about everything delivered. It's a show that I've gone back and watched more than one time. If you've never seen it and you're even wondering why we're doing this, go back and watch that one. And I expect this coming weekend to be even bigger and even better. Rob.
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to call bullshit on the people who complained about the build for the first one. Okay. Because, I mean, Stephanie McMahon literally came out from behind the curtain and called all the girls into the ring or onto the stage and announced it, okay? They had big feuds leading up to that match. The matches on that card, the build for those matches got serious TV time leading up to the show, okay? That is a lie that show did not have...
Yeah, by the way, when Nikki was on the show, or was on SmackDown, Raw, they mentioned that, you know, she was in the main event of the first Evolution, as she was against. It was funny, I think, that they no-named Ronda Rousey, because I think that they should have shed, because that was the main event. Ronda Rousey, the champion, defeated Nikki Bella.
And that was not a thrown together match. They had a feud, they had set up everything.
That was a full blown feud.
That show was absolutely built properly. It's just there were a bunch of people who were mad that they were mad because that was the same one they did the Crown Jewel. So you had Saudi, and so there were a bunch of bullshit narratives that were created, you know, around that. Like, even when people saying, well, oh, well, they just did the Evolution show because the women couldn't go to Saudi, so they did that to kind of make up for it. No, they didn't. Okay. The whole point of signing Ronda Rousey, one of the whole points of bringing in Ronda Rousey was to do that show. That was the main reason they brought in Ronda Rousey, a main part of bringing her in was to do an all women's pay-per-view. Okay. So that, no, I'm sorry. It was not a make good for the Crown Jewel. That's just another one of those stupid things you read on the internet.
Let me run down the first Evolution card for the viewers who are either new with us or new to this or haven't watched it. Rhea Ripley, then still just a who is this girl, versus Dakota Kai for the NXT UK, now defunct NXT UK Women's Championship. We had Trish Stratus and Lita defeating Mickey James and Alicia Fox. So there's your legends in, you know, Trish, Lita, Mickey, and Alicia. Had a nice little, you know, good throwback match there, and it was an excellent match. Nia Jax beat Ember Moon in a 20 women battle royal. Ember Moon and Nia Jax were the last two in there. Again, Ember Moon makes another mention here. Toni Storm defeated Io Shirai at the time, Io Sky now,
yes,
in the finals of the Mae Young Classic. So Toni Storm, that was the first Mae Young Classic. Toni Storm won the finals of that against Io Sky, two women who are both champions on their respective shows in their respective companies. Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Natalya defeated the Riot Squad, Ruby Riott, Liv Morgan, and Sarah Logan. Again, future Hall of Famers, you know, in this match. Shayna Baszler defeated Kairi Sane in a singles match for the NXT Women's Championship. Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair in a last woman standing match for the WWF SmackDown Women's Championship. And then again, at the aforementioned champion, Ronda Rousey defeated Nikki Bella with Brie Bella ringside by submission. Tell me that's not an absolutely stacked card. How can you look at that card and not get excited for all the people who claim to just like wrestling? Like, I just like good wrestling. That was a good fucking wrestling show. And we're going to get another one this weekend.
And yeah, and so, and actually they put the whole show up on the, in the WWE vault. They put the whole card there. And now, okay, so now that we've, you know, we have put that over so much, and one of the reasons I harped on the build of that show so much is because now it's time to be critical. Because this show this year, what some of y'all were saying about the first Evolution and how it was built, that's actually true for this show.
Now it's true.
Okay. Yeah.
Now it's true. It wasn't true in 2018.
And
it's
true now. Before Rob gets started, we did mention that when they first told us we're getting another one, it was like, oh, this has happened, that's happened, Evolution 2, and this has happened, and that's happened. And it's like almost like this little throwaway announcement is what it felt like to me.
Well, that's what it was.
it is exactly what it was. And again, we are not shitting on the talent, okay? We are excited that the talent is getting this opportunity. I wish the promotion of it had put more forward. Rob, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, and because here's the thing.
Just into the storyline builds, because, I mean, the card itself, like, matches as written. I have no complaints. We are going to have a shit ton of fun, guys. The stories to some of them are paper thin. That's it.
Yeah, and it's just... This show deserved more creative attention than what it's gotten.
Yeah.
And also the fact that it's the third show that they're doing this weekend, you know. To me, I think, look, they should have waited till October. That's when October was when the first Evolution was.
Yeah.
Okay. And the calendar is clearer, not as crowded. And look, I think it needs to be said, because look, we do this all the time with how they book the women. You know, we give them credit when they do, because, you know, it's they do a good thing one day, and then, you know, then another day they do something that, you know, is worthy of a little criticism, that, you know, and so, and I think in this case, the build for this show is one, they should actually absolutely be knocked for it. And also because, you know, those people who track things like ticket sales, whether it was WrestleTix or whatever, they track ticket sales for things. You know, this one, it's, you know, so far it's not going to be a big crowd there. But it's the third show in the same city in one weekend. And unfortunately, you know, the people who like to say, well, women don't draw, they're going to point to this.
Yeah.
And it's unfair. And, you know, it's just really unfair to kind of stick them with this. But look, I do think it's going to be a good show. I think they were just kind of put back into a corner here, the way this thing was put together and all of that. So look, make that known, right? I mean, you know, hopefully, you know what, if all goes well and we have a good show Sunday, I think we should all be saying that was a great show, and the next one y'all need to do better setting it up. Okay. Yeah.
Set it apart from your crowded weekends. And I understand why you're not going to do it, because at a glance, I looked at it, and I'm like, why not do NXT Sunday night and do the women Saturday? You know, because NXT will draw. But again, you're looking at, because this week is stacked. I'm not even looking at, you know, Raw, Evolve, NXT, SmackDown, all of that. I'm just looking at that four-day weekend from SmackDown to, you know, well, Monday. I mean, you got Raw, but still, yeah, that's a lot, man. And that's almost, it's almost oversaturation. And you feel like this event is suffering from oversaturation because it's the last one of the weekend.
Yeah, because, I mean, Saturday night's main event is sold really well.
Yeah, that's part of the promo. It also feels like a tacked-on edition, like, DVD special feature to Saturday night's main event. Like, it's a two-pack. That's the way they're selling it as a two-pack, right? That's not fair.
They were selling tickets as two-packs.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I get it. But, like, because aren't they in the same arena or across town?
I think it's cross town, but it's same. Everything's in Atlanta.
So I get why
you would sell the two packs of tickets and stuff like that. But even still, and I don't know, next time let it stand on its own.
Yeah. So let's get into the card.
Unless they're just terrified of like the draw.
Like, no, honestly, this was company war weekend, okay? We'd be honest about it, okay?
Yeah.
They put on three shows in one weekend to bury the competition, okay?
Oh, they did. It's counter-programming weekend.
Yeah, that's what it is, okay? And I know they always say, well, we don't worry about them. That's a lie. Of course they do, right? I mean, but you know what? I don't feel bad for AEW because some of their wrestlers and their owner decided to be very loud and use the words war. Okay.
Yeah.
And to quote Jim Cornette, if you want company war, that means, you know, they run shows in your town, they counter program your TV, and they try to steal your people. That's company war, folks.
Okay. That's what it looks like. That's what happened in the late 90s when it was WCW versus WWF at the time. It was absolutely, and some of you kids would not have survived that time as wrestling fans because it was ugly, like ugly. And, you know, we're not even close to that now because AEW realistically is not the same type of competition that WCW was. It was head-to-head brand warfare with some of the top stars legitimate top stars in the industry. Not top star in your bubble, not top star in your territory. These were legitimate global stars competing against each other, and it was a wild time to be alive. So, Jason, let's get into the card here. Let's talk about the card, and then we'll finish up talking about Evolution on the back end of this.
To kind of put it in perspective, guys, Roman Reigns would open Monday Nitro, and then, like, 5 minutes later, Seth Rollins would open Monday Night Raw.
Exactly.
Like, it was like that at a point.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, to the card. So, first off, we have a contest for the NXT Women's Championship. We have JC Jane defending her championship against Jordynne Grace. Thank you very much for your service, JC. Jordynne's got it from here. And I think it's going to be a fun match. This is one you just punch it through, man. I know she has the goon squad in case, they want to get JC out of it. But I think Jordynne should win here. Rob?
I think I'm going to go the other way, and I'm not, because it's Kat's already out of the bag at a Slammiversary. Whoever the NXT Women's Champion is going to be facing Masha Slamovich in a title versus title match. And I don't see, and this is going to sound like I'm bashing JC Jane here, but I don't see you having that on deck and then not have Jordynne Grace be the one going into it.
Right.
Yeah. And Slammiversary next weekend. We're going to talk about that next weekend because that's a really big lineup they have going on there. But yeah, I can't see booking that match and then not having Jordynne be the one to come into it, because last year
Jordan and Masha Slamovic had, if you want to call it women's match of the year last year, I wouldn't argue with you. Okay. I mean, at Bound for Glory last year. I mean, they beat the hell out of each other.
Masha's really good.
And I would love to see that again. So just keep it short. Jordan probably does win there.
I'm inclined to agree for all the reasons that Rob said. However, I saw something again. We got to take it with a grain of salt because it is the dirtiest of the sheets. That there is a possible, her buddy, Monroe, there is a possible heel turn coming from her.
So it
would not shock me if she turns on Jordan this weekend and costs her championship shot. That's the only outlier that I see right now. Otherwise, the entire scenario Rob laid out and a rematch between Jordan and Masha, yes, please. Let me have it. But just given that little outlier, I would not shock me to see JC retain here.
Alrighty. So, moving on to the next match on the card, we've got Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley. Io defending her women's world championship. It's tough to call because, I mean, Rhea is just one of those people. Could they strap up Rhea tomorrow? Yeah. I don't know. I look for Io to retain here, but these guys are going to get back in the classic saddle and give us a good one, I think, because they're very familiar with each other. They've grown a lot since the last time they've truly locked horns. So, yeah, let's go. DJ?
Yeah, this one's a tough one to call. I'm actually... Rhea wins by count out. Rhea does not win the championship.
Rob?
Okay. I can't see Io winning, just beating her straight up in a one-on-one match. I just can't see that happening. But if Rhea does beat her and win the title back, then this is kind of a Gunther J situation, really, where it's like, what was the point of having Io win at WrestleMania? Because she hasn't even defended the title since WrestleMania. So if she loses it back to Rhea here, then we're kind of at the, you know, again, what was the point? You know. But just depends on what they have planned next. And but look, until Rhea actually loses one of these matches straight up, then it's kind of hard to pick against her. So I'm gonna go with her.
Okay.
All right. Fair. Each.
I told you. I expect a count out. I expect a count out victory for
Count out. That's right. Sorry. I forgot. That's because you didn't truly call the winner.
Did not.
All right. So next coming up, we have a fatal four-way tag match, which always a lovely cluster. So we have the Judgment Day, Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez defending their titles against the fun frenemies team of Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. I think they've been a hoot, by the way. Versus Sol Ruka and Zarya versus the Kabuki Warriors. It's beautiful to see them back together again. And they're just picking up right where they left off. So I'm over the moon for that. So this should be a lot of fun with all the participants. It's going to be a car crash because Fatal 4-Ways usually are for its tag matches. And Judgment Day will probably just retain. Bob?
I think they hang on here, and then I think Charlotte and Alexa do beat them at SummerSlam, but I think they hang on here. And I mean, I was kind of iffy about the Charlotte Alexa thing, but last Friday it really started clicking really well.
It's fun. And,
dude, the big sister, little sister thing, like, that's not quite the vibe, but that's the closest I can get. Like, it's great. And it's so good. They're playing it so perfect.
And let me just also say, Alexa, this is important. She can get digs in on Charlotte without sounding like she's talking about Ashley.
Yeah.
okay? That's very important, okay?
Alexa doesn't get enough credit. Across the board, Alexa doesn't get enough credit, you know, as a worker in the ring. But on the mic, Alexa's damn good. And good in all, not just some, because some people will go out there and there's people who think a good promo is somebody who can just go out there and string a whole bunch of sentences together and not sound like they're fumbling all over themselves. And while that is a talent, to be able to go out there and do, like Rob said, to attack the character, the person we see on TV, not the person behind the character, is an art. And Alexa Bliss is good at that. Real good at that. She's good at putting over characters.
Oh, yeah, also, think of all the different characters she's had to play.
Exactly.
Like Possessed Devil Girl and Queen of the Damned and, you know, all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, she's excellent.
Yeah. So, I agree with you, too. So, Judgment Day women are retaining.
Okay. Perfect. Next up, there is a battle royal for the women, for a world championship match at Clash in Paris. The participants will be announced. They have announced some. I know Nikki Bella is in. Yes, Nikki Bella is in it. Hold on. Hold on, gentlemen.
Okay.
You better get that right, or your wife is going to hit you in the head with a shoe.
That was just getting a late report from my wife. Nikki Bella is going to win the whole thing, and Nikki Bella is going to also win at the Clash in Paris. So don't you worry about that. So there you go, gentlemen. Live exclusive from Nikki, from the leader of the Bella Army.
That's not a prediction. That's a spoiler.
Yeah, not a prediction. That is a spoiler. DJ, go ahead.
Since I don't know who's in it, I'm going to side with your wife say Nikki Bella is winning.
Perfect. Awesome. Rob, I don't know if you know any more participants, so it's just going to be fun. But Nikki Bella is going to win, right?
I think the only other possibility, I think, is that if
Rob, I'm going to play this for my wife.
Yes. Nikki Bella's winning. Yes.
There you go.
There's only one other possibility, and that's if Bianca comes back. But we haven't. But if not, that
plus effort, did we get there?
Yeah. But I think right now, because I think Nikki Bella is probably going to win.
I know Ava announced a couple of the NXT women, but I can't remember for the life of me who it was. Thea Hale was not one of them, which disappoints me, but...
It was... let me see, who else? Okay, Jada Parker is one. Okay. Lash is one.
Okay.
I think... I forget who the other ones were. I think Kalani might be one of them. Yeah, I think...
you had me a Lash Legend. If I get to watch her toss girls around all night, hey, I'm here for a good time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, let her get a couple of eliminations, please.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, so speaking of the next match, next match is Tiffany Stratton is defending her title, the WWE Women's Championship, against Trish Stratus. So, imagine them for a moment. Nikki Bella wins in the match, the Battle Royal. Tiffany Stratton wins here. Tiffany Stratton beats Nikki Bella at Clash in Paris. All of a sudden, what's that? It's Legend Killer time? I think we could have something here. If Tiffany Stratton could put Trish Stratus and Nikki Bella under her belt, or honored as a notch on her belt, whatever you want to call it.
You got three more months of tacky time? Hell no.
Rob, how dare you?
I'm tired of the. I memorized every word to this promo and I'm saying it like I'm reading a cue card.
Rob, I'm gonna drink the tacky time. Okay. I like it.
She does it so well.
No, it's terrible.
I'm sorry. She rides the lightning of like
it stinks.
CW.
No, it stinks.
Bad acting.
It stinks. No, okay. If she wasn't cute with bouncing boobs, you wouldn't care. It stinks.
She's legitimately fun in the ring now. The hotness aside, like yes, obviously she looks like Sabrina Carpenter. Hello, but like, and except she's a fucking five-star athlete. So, yes, of course, that's part of the gimmick. But, yeah, she's also... I don't quite get think it's as bad as you do, Rob, because I think that's also part of just the character and the way she talks. So, I don't know. I think she's that perfect level of, like I said, a CW villain, like high school villain, like, for wrestling. And that's what she's supposed to be.
Save us, Naomi. Please save us, Naomi.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what's going to happen.
Save us, Naomi, please.
It's coming, my friend. It might happen in Paris.
There you go. After she pins Nikki Bella. So she still gets the hold on to that Legend Killer thing.
I like you know what's messed up, and this is where let's talk about this for a minute. Let's take a side road here.
Let's talk about Trish and Tiffany for a minute. So, no, Rob,
It's not Trish and Tiffany. I want to talk about. Let's talk about the differences between a Vince McMahon booking decision and a Triple H booking decision. Because if Vince McMahon was still in charge, I am 95% sure in Paris we would get Nikki Bella versus Trish Stratus.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
If Vince were in charge, we would absolutely get that match.
Yeah.
Give me 10 minutes?
Can we give him 10 minutes?
Yeah. So, look, Trish got no chance of winning this match. Zero. The only question is whether or not Naomi cashes in the briefcase here.
I can see it, you know, make a hell of a show thing for Evolution, you know, in the women's wrestling show.
So. All right. Now what's up, Jason?
And moving on, we have, speaking of that, actually, we have Jade Cargill and Naomi in a no-holds-barred match. And conversely, the match for this is the build to this has obviously been fine because they've been going for more than a year. Or feels like it, if they haven't.
Somehow I'm not tired of it.
No, not at all. Exactly. I don't care. It's been magic the whole time, so we're doing great, guys. But yeah, so they have earned the no holds barred thing. This absolutely makes sense. And especially these two girls, I look for them to beat the shit out of each other, so that's gonna be awesome. Jade should win. No, of course not.
Yeah, I think she, yes.
You think?
Yeah, cause I mean, look, the briefcase really usually takes some L's. And Jay just won Queen of the Ring, and they're going to try to make her look as strong as possible going into SummerSlam. And look, I mean, you do the thing where, you know, Naomi loses the match and then she catches in the briefcase. And I think that's a frequent thing that they do. So I think Jade wins here. And then if she doesn't do it the same night, you know, Naomi's going to cash in the briefcase before SummerSlam. And then you'll have, you know, Jade and Naomi for the championship at SummerSlam.
There you go. Good job, Rob. We just booked it. Deej, what do you think?
Rob just talked me out of thinking Naomi's going to win this. Because I really, Naomi lost the first match. I feel like she needs to get her lick back. But it's also one of those things. Naomi is the Miss Money in the Bank. She loses nothing, no momentum whatsoever by losing this match because we know she's going to cash in. We largely hope that it's going to be successful leading to the showdown at SummerSlam. So, yeah, Rob, you sent me down a different timeline than I walked in on.
Perfect. So next up, and the main event, maybe the main event of the evening, just last on this card anyway. We have Becky Lynch defending her Intercontinental title, so probably not the main event, versus Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. Lyra, man, she has totally turned the corner with me. She has, like, once she started to, for lack of a better term, for whatever someone told her or whatever, she flipped. She's just being herself. And maybe, yeah, she's dialing up to 11 when she's yelling at Becky and yelling at Bayley. But she's standing up for herself without looking like a dork. And she's not totally married to the bird thing anymore, but she always has little touches, like stuffing her hair and things like that. And that's made that way more just, okay, kind of birds are just her thing, whatever. that explains it enough. Just putting her in street clothes. It everything's starting to click with this chick. And it happened like in the last month. So first off, hats off to her. So I truly can't call this one because a month ago I told you it's Bayley's to win. But Lyra has done, I keep calling her Lyra, Lyra has done such a great job at like turning her character up in the last month. I don't know. I can't call it. If I had to bet, I would say Bayley, but I don't know, man. Deej, what do you got?
Dude, you have to. You're in there with Becky Lynch and Bayley, two of the original four horsewomen, two of the best currently in the business today. If you want, and this is probably going to main event, if you want to be seen in that crowd, you got to turn your game up, and Lyra's done that. Like, she really has. She has done that. Like you, I've turned the corner. 3 months ago, I was having a much different discussion about Lyra Valkyria. I didn't care. I didn't. I would have told you, when the bell rings, she's awesome. Everything else, I got nothing for. I have turned the corner on that. I could see a scenario where she could win this. I think she does, and I think Bayley and Becky branch off and feud into the summer with a match culminating at SummerSlam, and Lyra moves on to other competition. We got to move Lyra on from Bayley because that's what's really, when we've talked about that on this show before, it's like, I think it was Rob's words, okay, what comes after this is what's going to solidify Lyra Valkyria as a bona fide main roster WWE women's superstar.
Deej, you convinced me. Bayley and Becky are too busy beating the ever-loving dog crap out of each other. And they've even, oh, I can go for a weapon or something because it's a triple threat match. And Lyra's like, okay, well, I'm here too, and wins the match that way.
The only thing I don't like about this build is it's...
I totally see that.
It's literally the same story that Bianca, Rhea, and Io Sky told at WrestleMania. Io was like, hello, I'm here. I'm the champ. I'm part of this too. And they're literally doing the same thing with Lyra. And like the focus is on Becky and Bayley.
Lyra is, exactly. Even changing the focus, I think, changes the story. Because Lyra is, in this case, still the up-and-comer.
But she's Io Sky in this scenario.
So it is different in that regard.
I see it the same. She's the Io Sky of this situation. Don't sell me short just because I'm not you two.
Rob, split the difference. What do you got?
Well, you know something, brother. I'm going to be on the card defending my Intercontinental title, so you know I got to go on last.
All right, okay? So can somebody mute him?
If you want me to defend my title against these two jabronis, I got to go on last, brother. You know that.
Oh, my God. Here he is. Here he is, everybody.
Becky Hogan.
It was too easy. The shoe bear is loose. I'm sorry, it was too easy. But I don't think this is going to go on last because, I'm sorry, Triple H's favorite girl is on the card and she's going on last. Okay.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Rhea Ripley will main event. And I don't have a problem with that. I love Rhea. I didn't think about it. This is more me hanging my head for not thinking about it.
Yeah, but in all seriousness, though, now, I think what's helped Lyra is that she has an actual, like, antagonist, right? Because for the longest time, she was having matches with people, right? And there wasn't really anything else to it, just that she's having matches with people, right? And there wasn't any, you know, there was no story, there was no angle, there was no morality play going on or anything. It was just she was having matches with people, right? And so I think it's helped her that she has a couple of enemies here. And that has helped with the promo segments. That's helped with, you know, and all that. As far as what's going to happen here, I don't know. Because, I mean, SummerSlam is in... not even a month later, it would be kind of weird for this thing to end here, you know? I mean, because you got two nights SummerSlam this year, so it'd be kind of strange for this thing to end right here. So,
I mean, didn't DJ just kind of lay that out? You split them off. In 30 days, you can get somebody else going for Lyra.
Yeah, you could and bring then, somebody out Monday night match for Lyra. With
Bayley and Becky at SummerSlam.
That's true. All right, so I think, yeah, I'm going to go ahead with Lyra winning it back. And you know, brother, since it's a triple threat match, that means I don't have to take the pin, brother. So get ready to count the lights, Bayley.
My God, he's terrible. He is on one tonight. I hate it here. All right, gentlemen. I think, like you said, I think we got the card on paper looks to be amazing. All the women on this show have shown repeatedly that when time comes to go, they can all go. If you're looking for good wrestling, tune in Sunday night, man. Check it out. Support these women. Be there for them. That way we can get more of these types of things. And even if we don't get another Evolution, you're making a case for the women to get more TV time, which is what we want either way. So tune in, watch it, Evolution 2. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Real quick, around the horn, Rob, do you see any surprises? Like surprise returns specifically?
Okay, so if Bianca's ready to go, her.
Okay.
Other than that, probably not. Now, there have been a few people that have come out and said, well, they haven't called me, but we know that might be bullshit. You know?
Yeah.
Something like Michelle McCool said that, and a couple other people did.
Yeah, last time Michelle McCool said that, she showed up at the Rumble. So.
Yeah, so you never know. You never know if that's, like, real or if that's kind of misdirection.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the best bet for a surprise would be Bianca coming back.
Okay. Jason, what about you? Any surprise returns?
I'm with Rob. Bianca's kind of the obvious quote-unquote one. But other than that, anybody else I would kind of think of is already on the card. So, okay.
I'm going to throw an obscure name out there only because she's been training randomly for whatever reason, no reason in particular, just because she likes it. AJ Lee.
Oh, don't feed the nerds. Don't do this.
No. I'm feeding the nerds. You know what? We need somebody to listen to this podcast, Rob.
Let that girl stay home. She wants to stay home. Let her stay home.
She's going to raise the dog.
It's very, she could have walked in to any door she wanted to if she had got the itch. Any door. Tony would have made it, and anybody would have written her a check that thumped when it hit the table.
Least wait for her to give a sign that she wants to come back.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, why don't we get out of here? Call it a night. We had a good show tonight. Had a lot of fun. Had a good discussion about, you know, Evolution and its importance and everything. So looking forward to that show this weekend. I hope you all have as much fun with it as I know we're going to. Going to go back around the room here and thank my co-host, starting with Jason, sir. Fun show tonight. Good insight as always.
Oh, this is a blast, and I'm glad we did it, guys. Evolution 2, brought to you by brought to you by the Mindless Wrestling Podcast.
A part of the Chairshot Radio Network.
Part of the Chairshot Radio Network.
From the Rob the Genius Podcast, the host of that show, Mr. Rob, sir, the Shoot Bearer, thank you again.
Always a pleasure, my man.
And always a pleasure. It's always mine. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want. But call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week. And
your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence. Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.